Some through great sorrow,
But it's my heart's desire to do what God had me to do. I want to share some things with you before we get to Matthew chapter number 18. I want to tell you the reason why. I was thinking on these things. God's really established some things in my heart. I got to talk to a pastor of another church. We began to talk about things, the way God's moving. And some things and some questions and some stuff. I always like talking to the brethren, especially those when they question us on some things. And, you know, in today's time, when you look at what's set, but what is left is set before the church these days, a lot of folks is trying to figure out what's their niche, what is exactly what kind of church should they be. And I'm often surprised at the many different thoughts that folks have on what a church should be doing nowadays. I'm surprised at times how some folks, and even myself, sometimes I have heard statements that no matter what it takes, no matter what the cost is, we do what we got to do to get folks in. And at first, that sounds pretty noble and pretty promising, but the problem is you don't do whatever it takes. You do what God says. Because when you follow the Lord, then you don't have to worry about the repercussions. There still may be repercussions, Brother James, but if we follow the Lord, God handles the repercussions. Amen. And I was thinking upon this message tonight, and I know we preached last Wednesday some things, and we preached here recently on some stuff on Sunday night, I think it is along these lines, sort of. But preaching on the church being together, the church being united, along those same lines, not the same thing. I was reminded today in the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra, is where you will find where the children of Israel had come out of Babylon and they are rebuilding the temple, they're rebuilding the wall, they're rebuilding and putting the gates back up, and they was locked arm in arm. They had a common goal. They had a common desire in their heart. They wanted to rebuild what was once there. They wanted to strive and work together. The Bible says they had a tool in one arm and a weapon, or a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. In one place in the scripture, I do believe it was Nehemiah, it says, while some worked, others stood guard, and they swapped and took places. And back then, they had that common goal. They still had enemies. They was amongst the enemies of Israel, was still around and still prevalent in the days. And they try to stop them from rebuilding the things that God had once built. And by their own wrongs, they were burnt to the ground. And by their own sins, they were burnt to the ground. Now, I want to say this today. We're not building something today as they were back in those days, but the principle still applies in this 2016 day. But we are not building and we are not trying to rebuild something that was gone. We're trying to allow God to use us to keep doing what He's wanting to do, and that is build upon His church. With the foundation being Christ and being the disciples and being the gospel and being the word of God. And I want to say some things. I was reminded today, and sometimes I forget just exactly why some things happen the way they do and why God has us do the things that we do nowadays. But as I am reminded in 2016 that we are living in perilous times. This is where we're at today. And that men are lovers of their own selves, and they're covetous, and they're boasters, and they're proud, and they're blasphemers, and they're disobedient to parents, and unthankful, and unholy. And today, what we're living in, folks don't have natural affection no more. They are willing to be breaking their truths or their covenants. They're false accusers. They're incontent. They're fierce. They're despisers of those that are good. Now, I've heard people say, well, I don't see too much of that nowadays. I saw a report where a bunch of teenage young men, found a Marine in a McDonald's and began to ask him some questions about, well, I'll just be honest with you, began to ask him if Black Lives Matter. And since he didn't give the answer that them boys wanted to hear, they beat him down unconscious and robbed him. Yep. Now, some folks may say, well, you don't know what that Marine did. Well, can I say this? There's nothing in this world that's worth a man or a woman being beat down by numerous individuals over anything. And the day that we're living in, and I've preached it before, and I think it's still the same today, is that the world is upside down. Yep. It has been flipped around. That which was good is now evil, and that which was evil is now good. I was told about this today, and whenever I used to work Saturdays early in the morning, I would go. And I would have time every once in a while. I would stop at the McDonald's up by work and grab me a coffee and a little piece of breakfast. And there was always this little a real thin strawberry, a reddish blonde type gal. She was always in the first part of the drive through, and she was kind of quiet but kind of pleasant. But as months went on and the years went by, she began to change. Her appearance began to change. What was a natural coloring of her hair, she began to change the coloring of her hair. And the next thing you know, what happened to be pierced ears began pierced all the way up and around the nose and different things. And then these big old spike wristbands and spike. And she had a dog collar on one day. And she just seemed like she was just loved being that different. And I was told today by the men at work that they found that poor girl dead of a heroin overdose. And I'm telling you today, it don't matter how innocent they may look. It don't matter how sweet that they might be, boy or girl. Devil is on the rampage. Sin is running like a tsunami. And the love of many has waxed cold. And we're living in a day where if there's ever should be a unity amongst brothers and sisters, if there's ever a day that there should be a unified set goal and a heart condition fixed, it should be today's day and today's church towards the lost and dying soul of mankind. And I was thinking about that, and I thought of all the things I've heard people say the reason for this message, and even I have said the reason for this message. But as God was dealing me upon this message, He was saying, Jason, it's at the end of time. You've been preaching it. The Bible has been telling it. And all you have to do is turn on the radio, turn on your TV, turn on your computer. If you still get a newspaper or pick one up, open up the newspaper, and there's more evil being talked about than there is good. There's more people who's more enthralled and more thrilled and more involved who's going to be the next leader of the Republican or Democratic Party than they are their own soul or the souls of the people in their family or the people that they work with or go to school with. And I'm saying this tonight not as to beat up Mount Zion Baptist Church. That is far from my heart's desire and what God's laid upon my heart. But if you'll have it, a charge, or better as we would say, a rallying cry, that we should lock arms one with another and be more unified now than ever than that for the lost soul of man. I've heard people say, well, I like this church because it has this, and I like this church because it has that, and they've got this going for them. They have this to offer. But can I say that every church should offer the love of God and Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected. I've often found that not only does the church should offer that, but the people as a whole should believe that and be entrusted one with another and say, yes, these are the people that I am locking arms with and willing to go to battle with and fight with. And I've often been heard this. They said, Jason, would you be in a foxhole? Would you have them in your foxhole? I'm telling you this tonight. I hope that I live a life that Jeff Curry, if it ever comes down to a battle, and you've got to have somebody in your foxhole, you'd be saying, yeah, give me Jason Faulkner in my foxhole. He'll watch my back. He'll lock arms with me. And we'll take it to the enemy. Because of all days, now is the time. And today is the day of salvation. Ain't that right? I'm going to be reading in Matthew chapter number 18. I'm going to read 18, 19, and 20, those verses. And I want to read on these things, and I want to preach about two or three, or just being united, or gathered together, or being as one in the body. And we will say this, it's been good. If nothing else, it's been good right now. I feel good right now in the Lord. And it says in verse number 18, Matthew chapter 18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Would you help me pray? Oh, precious God, come to you one more time this day, one more time this night. Lord God, I ask you once again to forgive me where I failed you, God, my shortcomings. I'm just a man at my best, Lord Father. But that is not an excuse, God. I know you demand better. And Lord Father, I pray, Lord Father, tonight, not just for myself, but for all of us here tonight, Lord God, that we would do better, be better, to strive to be that which you'd have us to be. And Lord, I know some people said, well, preacher, we'll never be perfect. And that may be true in this life, but it's always worth a fight. And it's always worth the attempt to be that which God you want us to be. God, I pray tonight, Lord, Father, you speak to our heart. I pray tonight, Lord God, you loose me and use me that you can speak through me, Lord God, and speak to the hearts of everybody here. Not just their hearts, but mine also, Lord. And that, Father, that we would give you glory, praise, and honor into your high and holy name. That, God, that we would be charged tonight, rejuvenated, a rallying cry, God, to be together and fighting for the cause of the lost. It's in your Son's sweet, precious name to humbly pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I shall be in the midst. In this 18th chapter, we find where Jesus is speaking unto his disciples about many of things. And here in this verse, or in these chapters right here, you'll find out how Jesus had talked about some things and talked about the lost sheep and talked about how a sheep that has gone astray. He even talks about if a brother has offended you or a brother has wronged you or sinned against you and how they ought to do. He preaches about the authority that comes with being the believers and the power that comes with being the believers. But he says here in this 18th and 19th verse and this 20th verse is what God has laid upon my heart. About how when we get to the part of how two or three gathering in his name. I want to remind everybody in that 18th verse, he's telling us about the authority that he has given unto the believers. The power that has been given unto the believers. The accomplishing things that we can have or the things that we could do. The power or control that we have over the things that happen. I've said this before many a times. Sometimes this verse has often given me fits because it says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And my mind always went to the simple fact thinking that if I had bound something down here on earth when I got to heaven, it was going to be bound up there. And what shall be loosed on this earth shall be loosed up in heaven. But God reminded me there's not nothing that's going to defile in that glorious place where we're going to be. It's perfect up there. It's grand and glorious up there. But there is a place that God speaks of, Brother Paul, in the Bible, of that heavenly place where we can sit with Christ Jesus. And he's reminding us that whatever we bind as in this body, or bind as in the carnal way of thinking, or bind as in our flesh, or bind the things of this world, if we bind them, we don't let them seize control. If we bind the sin and we say it's not going to be loosed, if we bind the things that can corrupt and bind the things that can lead people astray, it shall be bound in heaven. Can I say this tonight? A lot of folks don't realize the life that they live throughout the week before they get to the house of God. Those things begin to build and those things begin to take up a great amount in life. And those things eventually start spilling over into the church. I was talking to somebody here recently. We began to talk about church and we began to talk about things, how the world sees it. And they began to tell me about how they just love going to church, or they wouldn't call it church. They was calling it where they go. They kept saying, where I go, it's this way. And where I go, it's that way. And we're so involved with other people. And we're so doing this with other people. And we're so giving things to other people. And I'm sitting there and talking with them. I agree 100%, Sister Vicki, that we should be involved. And we should get in, around other folks. And we should spread and share exactly what God has given us. And if we've got something and that we can give to somebody else that's in need, that we should give it to them. But when the conversation came to a close, I said, the one most important thing that we need to share is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no way of salvation. The conversation came to an abrupt halt. They looked at me and gave me a smirk and nodded their head and turned back over and began to continue to do what they was going to do. Can I remind everybody that just because you might be doing something good, and just because you might be doing something in the name of a deity, does not mean that it's what God wants us to do. And God says he wants things to be done through his church. He says we are the light of the world, a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. We are the salt of the earth. We are to season this land. We are to season mankind. We are to put the salt in the wounds of man. We are to purify the wounds of man. We are to help the things of man because somebody has helped us. And no, can I say this today? He says if we will not allow the things of sin nor the things of the world into the house of God, into the church of God, if you'll have it in the heavenly place of God, we won't have to worry about it running amok and deceiving folks and being turned upside down. Yeah. I've often heard people say upon these lines, they say, well, you're just too strict. You guys are just too narrow-minded. Those things should not ought to be. What the problem is that the world has gotten churchy and the church has gotten worldly. And they think that if they invite the world in and invite the things of the world, that it will cause people to come and be a part of the church. And don't get me wrong. I know we are in the world, but the Bible says we are not of the world. And what we should do, there should be a clear distinction between us and the people that are of the world. Don't get me wrong. You've heard me preach it too many times and you can't accuse me of it. I'm not talking looking down my nose at somebody who's less fortunate than me. I'm not talking about looking at somebody saying, I'm holier than thou. No, what I'm saying is that God saved my soul and He made a change in my life. Am I perfect? No, I am not. But there's some things that we ought to run from and some things we ought to run to. And the things the church ought to run to is the Lord and each other and not the world.
Amen.
That's exactly right. He's warning them and telling them, be careful. At one place He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees.
Amen.
He didn't say beware of the loaf. He said just a little bit of leaven will ruin the whole entire thing.
Amen.
One place the Apostle Paul says you need to purge it and purge out that little leaven. He says, because if you don't get that little leaven, the whole lump will be leaven, and it'll be good for nothing. Oftentimes people say, I don't understand why somebody is that way and somebody's that way. Can I say this? It's because there's some things that ought to be kept at a distance, and sometimes things ought to be pointed out and what they truly are. But on the other hand, I've heard people say, preacher, you guys, and I've been caught on the flip on the also. I've been told that I was charismatic.
Yes.
I've been told that I'm not dedicated enough. I was told I didn't have no discipline and have no doctrine. And I looked at them and I said, man, I'm telling you what, I'm having a hard problem with all this. I didn't know I was all this confused when it comes to the Bible. Because I have been reminded that I am not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Pentecostal. As a matter of fact, I got saved in the Church of God, got baptized by a Mystery Baptist preacher, and now I'm a pastor of a regular Baptist church. Amen, right there. I got some best friends that are fundamentally independent Baptists. I got some friends that are Pentecostal. And if we've been bought by the blood, we're all going to heaven. And too many times people want to draw a line and say, if you ain't like me, and if you ain't like this, you can't be a part of me. I'm telling you what we're living in today is that the devil is sitting back and he's clapping his hands and saying, I ain't got to do nothing. Them knotheads is fighting amongst each other. They have caused a division and confusion amongst themselves. And the Bible says it's an abomination and God hates it amongst the brethren. Can I say this tonight in this 18th verse? He's saying, keep it clean. Keep it straight. The last bastion of hope in this world is the church. The last place of sanctity and refuge is the church. I taught over at the gym ministry a while back about the six cities of refuge. There is one city left. There's one place of refuge left, and that is the church of the living God. It is the last place where you should go and be able to find hope and find love and find the truth and ultimately find salvation. And too many times people say, well, no, preacher, I think we ought to have it because we need to have a social place. We need to have ourselves a social club. We need to have ourselves some social this and social that. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about getting together and I'm all about fellowshipping. But if it's not for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if it's not for the building of the brethren and the sistren together to make them stronger, it ought not to be done. It ought not to be done. In that 18th verse, whatsoever you bind, whatsoever you loose on earth, it shall be loose. We should all realize what we bring to the table, what we bring to church when we come to church. I mean, I think I owe it to you, not only as the pastor, but I think I owe it to you all that I come with a message in my heart, and not just the message that I've conjured up, but asking and begging God for the message He wants to feed this flock with. I owe it to this congregation that I come in a frame of mind and a heart's position, Sister Rita, that love is oozing out of my heart. Somebody say amen right there. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there may become a time I may come to church and I may not feel like it, but I'm glad that's where God picks up the slack. But can I say this in the 100% scheme of things? I've heard people say, you know, I really don't like preaching. I'm just doing it because God called me. I heard a man say one time, I really don't like pastoring, but it's the only thing left that I know God can use me in. Can I say this? If you don't love the position that God's got you in, you better be asking God, what is your position?
Right.
Amen, that's right. And he and I and you, we owe it to each other to come to the house of God ready to worship. And you said, preacher, but sometimes I don't feel like I'm tired and I'm beat up. Well, maybe that's when the rest of us pick up your slack. There's been times, you know, I never forget when I was sitting there and the first time they asked me to have something, a speech prepared or something wrote down for whenever we done the index or the things that we have all the phone numbers. That I don't know what, can't remember what we call it, but it had all the pictures and all of our names in it. And directory. Thank you, James. Want me to have a write something in there that has pertained to me being pastor. And the first thing that I could think of, and the first thing that leaped off the page was just how green and how mistake-filled that I was. But thank God for a good church who overlooks and forgives my mistakes. And I've often looked at it upon this way, that too many times people get bigger than the position that they're in, or they think more highly of themselves than what they ought to. And the Bible says that we are to condescend of men of low estate. We are to come lowly, meek and mild, and come together and edify one another as a church. In this 19th verse, he says, where two or three shall agree on the earth as touching anything that they should ask, and it shall be done of them which my Father which is in heaven. He's talking about coming together in prayer, agreeing with each other in prayer. And I'm going to keep pounding this as long as God say keep pounding this, because I think God is producing the results from this. And I'm glad. And once again, we still will be meeting tomorrow at 6:30. And if you can't make it, please pray at 6:30. And I believe folks have been praying at 6:30. And God has made ways and done things in this church because of it. And it says in Acts chapter number 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, talking about Christ, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He's saying, when y'all do, y'all come together, and you all wait, and y'all be together as two or three. It says, as two gathered together in prayer, touching one thing, it shall be done. He's telling them to come together and be in agreement with each other. He said, I told you that you should be waiting to be endued with power from up on high. Jesus is telling the disciples he is now resurrected, been seen to do what he was to 500 brethren, and he's letting them know. He says, I'm about to go away, but what you ought to do is get together, love one another, lock arms with one another, get in the upper room, don't come out until the power of God falls. Well, you know, sometimes, Brother James, I think what we ought to do is we come to the house of God and we chain lock the front door, the back door, the side doors, and you say, nobody's leaving till we all come together and the power of God falls on us. And sometimes people think I'm crazy. They say, well, you're nuts. It's not about swinging from the chandeliers. It's not about grabbing a hold of the ceiling fan and whoop whoop doo and squalling and singing songs. But what it's about is getting charged up, getting rejuvenated, getting filled up with the power of God to make a difference in somebody else's life, and clinging and sticking close to one another, because where two can touch upon one thing in prayer, it said it shall be done. Oh, bless his sweet and holy righteous name. When somebody says, I'm praying, but I've got nobody to pray with me, I am a proponent. If you see somebody getting on these altars to pray, I think you ought to get out of your seat. Maybe you don't get down next to them and coach them, but maybe it might give them a bit of confidence and boost in their ego or self-esteem if they got brothers and sisters that's willing to get down around them and pray with them. And I can say this, sometimes it may be young people, sometimes it may be old people, but a church that prays together stays together. They've always said if a home prays together, they stay together. Well, if a church prays together, they'll stay together and they'll have the power of God together. He said stick together. Set in Chronicles chapter number 7, verse number 14, famous verse often used before revival meetings. He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He wasn't talking singularly, Brother James Powell. He was not talking to the individual, but he was talking to Israel as a whole. If you'll have it, he was still talking to the church as a whole, saying you all ought to come together. You all ought to seek my face together. You all turn from your wicked ways together. The Bible says in James chapter number 5, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. I've often heard people say, well, preacher, how come you don't hear too many people confessing their faults no more? I said, because in the modern church nowadays, nobody has no faults no more. Nobody ever messes up. Nobody ever sins. And there ain't nobody ever lost no more. Everybody's A-okay. Everybody's fine. Nobody needs to pray. Nobody needs to shed a tear. There's no more conviction because everybody's just perfect and peachy when it comes to God. But he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face. So many times people saying, preacher, I don't understand. And you know, you can have a pocket here and a pocket there doing it. But you'll never have it church-wide until the church gets together and does it together. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Because in too many times, in too many ways, folks will look for the chink of the armor. May I remind everybody, when the children of Israel come out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness, the first ones to attack them, they come from behind to pick off the young ones and the weak ones and the sick ones. They would not fight the ones head on. They would always come after the weak and young ones. And can I say, if we'll build a hedge, I like that song, sometimes a wall of faith, sometimes a wall of grace. But I want a wall of prayer surrounding me. I mean, if we'll lock arms and get around each other, that doesn't mean the hard times ain't coming, Paul. But it does mean that I ain't got to worry about the enemy sneaking up from behind. Because I got somebody watching my back and a praying coming together with me. Oftentimes we come and oftentimes we look at it. And as we look at these things, sometimes people say, well, preacher, all it is just church. All it is just something that we do on Sundays. All it is we come and we get juiced up for the rest of the day world. But may I remind everybody that when we come to the house of God, we're not dealing in just natural things when it comes to being a church. But we're dealing in supernatural things that have ramifications with eternity in people's souls. May I remind everybody, oftentimes I've watched from this pulpit and seen when the altar call comes and when the power of God comes. And Jeff, you've seen it and other folks have seen it. When the power of God comes, it doesn't bother not one person to do something fidgety, do something squirrely, pop off on something, do something, flip something, drop something, run around and do something. I mean, people, it just doesn't bother them no more. I remember used to. I never forget this. I won't say which kid it was, but I almost never went back to church again. I had a kid. We were sitting there at church, and I was in the front pew right there where Gump's at, and Tammy was sitting behind me, and we had the kids in the second pew, Vicky, and the pastor was preaching. He was coming real hard, and it got real quiet, and that one jumped out and goes, "Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!" Started hollering back at the preacher. I mean, I'd done one of them. And of course, he was young enough. Of course, that was a boy, so you know what I mean? Like when Samantha's in the clear. But I swung that hand backwards that way and about to knock their block off for acting that way, and I couldn't find them. They was running for cover, and somebody says, "Why was you acting that way for?" Because the power of God was coming through the house of God. And sometimes people need to realize their actions can cause some consequences. Ain't that right? People say, "Well, that's just mean preaching. That's just being judgmental." It ain't being judgmental. Don't get me wrong. I love kids. I love hearing the babies cry. I love hearing things go on. But there's just certain things sometimes people are just oblivious to. They're just oblivious to it. Don't get me wrong here and there. Don't get me wrong. But there's sometimes, I've seen people in church that just act just totally crazy. One man was preaching revival one time. Guy sitting over there, and every time he'd sit there and go, and he'd do that to the preacher. He'd go like that and go. And do that to the preacher. And him not thinking that God could be dealing with somebody around him and that jackleg sitting there doing something like that. Somebody says, "What is that?" I said, "That's a person who's lost as a ball in high weeds." There's a reason why we come together in unity. There's a reason why we come together in love, because it's us against the world. The world would just seem to have people be religious, but they don't want them to be saved. Mark, remember this. When Pharaoh asked Moses to take away the frogs, Moses says, "Well, take them away, Pharaoh. When do you want them gone?" He says, "Tomorrow." The world and the devil will never tell somebody not to get saved. He always says, "Get it tomorrow. Get all the religion you want today, but don't get no salvation until tomorrow." And then when tomorrow comes, go get all the religion in church you got today, but don't get that salvation until tomorrow. And so many times people don't realize that that could be the only time, the last time, the final time that God could speak to their heart. And can I say that so when we come together, we should seek that which God gives us, or seek that which God wants us to do. In verse 20, it says, where two or three are gathered, where two or three are gathered in His name. Did we gather out tonight in the name of the Lord? Did we gather out? Did we come to church because it's... No, y'all don't look at me this way. Sometimes I just came to church because it was church night. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that. I'll admit that I've done that before. I've come to church because it's church night. Church time. Come to church. Had no expectation, had no thought. It was just church. I was going to church. But He says, where two or three are gathered out in His name. Big difference. You can gather out in Walmart parking lot in the name of the Lord and have more going on in Walmart parking lot than the biggest church can have in the sanctuary on Sunday. Is that, amen, that is right. You can have more power in the discount aisle, the Dollar General, than you can in some of the biggest churches when you gather out in His name. The big difference is gathering out in the name of Jesus. Some people gather out because of the shingle or the sign. Some people gather out because it's what they've just always done. But when you gather out in the name of the Lord Jesus, when you gather out in His name, the Bible says He is in the midst. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of one and another. I need you and you need me. Some folks, and there has been a movement that has been going on forever and forever and forever, and I've called on to and met up with some folks. They say, well, you know, I really don't need the church. I don't need all you people. I don't need all that. I had one lady one time, she had moved her membership and the church was trying to track her down. And she was coming to church with us. And I told her, I said, hey, sis, your home churches are looking for you. They're trying to get a hold of you. She goes, I don't need them people. I don't need that church membership stuff. And she began to chew me out. I said, well, I'm not your enemy. I don't know why you're getting all mad. I don't need you neither. I don't need all this stuff. I can go worship the Lord all by myself. But there's only one problem with that. Where two or three are gathered in His name, there He shall be in the midst. And we are one of another. We are a part of one body. I've heard people say, oh, I don't like that organized religion. And I've always come back and asked them, well, do you like a disorganized religion? You like that stuff that's chaos and scattered? I like it when God's got things rightly divided, separated, and in order, because we're all a part of each other. I need you. I need Jeri and Judy. I need Rita and Debbie. I need you all. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Gump, I need you. Some folks would say, well, it's only just Jeff and Jason. They're preachers. That's all they think they need to send to. Absolutely not. Well, it's just Jason and Eddie. Eddie's the deacon. Jason's pastor. That's all they need. No. We need each other. When a church does not see the importance of needing one another, it ceases to exist as a church. Because where people do not longer see to each other to want to be with one another, you can mark it for sure that the Spirit of God is not amongst them. Ain't that right? Y'all hearing this, preacher? He said we are members one of another. We should come together. We should realize just how close we ought to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there is no division among you, but that ye perfectly join together in the same mind and the same judgment. And I have heard so many people and so many folks get bent out of shape going, well, they just don't see things like I do. They just don't believe in things like I do. They just don't follow things like I do. Can I remind everybody, I believe if we all got down with the Bible and we all began doing trinity questions and asking each other about things in the Bible, I can almost guarantee that most of us, I'm saying most of us, if not 100% of us, won't find everything crossing the I's and crossing the T's and dotting the I's the same way as everybody else does. And so many people will cause a dividing line and squabble and squall amongst themselves in the church over things of no meaning, straining out the gnat and swallowing the camel, when we all should be in one mind, one accord, when it comes to lost people getting saved. Ain't that the commission? Am I the only one preaching tonight? Anybody hearing this, preacher? Galatians or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body, for all are partakers of one bread. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 28. He says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, and there's neither bond nor free, for there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We've all come together. We're all part of one big body. Can I say this tonight? Women are not second-class citizens. You're not second-class citizens. There's no stepchildren. There's no nieces, no grandchildren. We're all brothers and sisters and children of God. Ain't that right? Don't get excited now. I'm just preaching on church. Good things about church. Don't get overflowing. Don't raise up hands. Yeah, I'm a part of that. In Ephesians chapter number 4 is where I want to take the rest of it, and I'll be closing. We preached on this last Wednesday. I think it was last Wednesday. I think that's what it was. Last Wednesday or last Sunday. Can't remember. Or Sunday before last. But God showed me something else as I was going through these scriptures. And if you'll have it, I'm going to read some scriptures. And starting at the first verse of Ephesians chapter number 4, I'm going to read it again. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now note the 12th and the 13th verse. I know some people don't believe in underlining them in their Bibles, and that's fine, so make you a side note on a piece of paper. But this 12th and 13th verse, I want you to read these with me. It says, All this is done for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all come together being a church. We all come together being that which God wants us to be. We all come together. Some people say, why does all this take place? Why do you all say there's an order to things? Well, it says there he gave these certain things for the perfecting of the saints. He gave it for the edifying of the church, the coming together, that the church may be edified and glorified, because we're the body of Christ. Y'all hearing me? And sometimes when we, can I say this? If I had to guess, if I had to take a poll, most people would say, well, I love all the people I go to church with. And I ain't saying you don't. And I'm not saying that I don't either. But how many of us has been guilty of the everyday life, the mundane routine, the work, the this and the that, the kids of this or the kids of that, the neighbor this, the store that, the car breaking down, amen on the car breaking down, everything just going on this, got to have money, got to get prepared for the baby, got to get this going on, got birthdays coming, got all these things coming up, and the last thing that always seems to pop in our mind is each other, let alone the Lord. A lot of times when we think about Christ, we always think about us and Him first, don't we? I mean, I do. I guess I shouldn't ask that question. Some folks may look at me like I'm trying to put them on the spot. But a lot of times I'm always checking myself with God first. And I ain't saying you don't check yourself with God first, but God's wanting us to be strong together, going to bat for one another in prayer, in supplication, and in need. I've got needs in my family, and I know you got needs too. And I ain't saying you put your needs and your family's needs on the back burner, but I think our God's big enough that we can put them all on one burner and one big skillet. Don't you? I heard this. I can't remember exactly who said it, so I won't guess who said it. But somebody had said one time, I was talking to an individual, and he said that I've always said I had too many irons in the fire. I had too many irons in the fire. And God showed him, he said, you should just have one iron in the fire. When you see, and I've often said this, there's the three things in my life, they're one. The Bible speaks of a lot of things in three, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. At the communion, you've got the bread, the fruit of the vine, and you've got the feet washing. And in a lot of instances, you've got the water, the blood, and the Spirit. All kinds of representations of three. But in our life today, in 2016, and some people don't agree with this, but there's too much Bible for it. I've got my God, my family, and my church. If that's my iron, I've got more than enough to keep me busy throughout the day and throughout the week. And when it says confess your faults one to another, I ain't trying to play tag team fault confessing, but I'll let you know first, I am guilty at times. I ain't saying I neglect praying for people. I'll pray for people. I'll pray for them. But maybe I could pray for them more than once or twice in the day. Getting kind of quiet. Some people might say, what do you mean? Well, it's like I was talking to Rita and Debbie. God showed me a lot of things in my life that passes by that recliner with the remote on the right-hand side, the cell phone on the left-hand side, and I'll say it in a UK game on in front of me. That way y'all can't look at me and say I'm picking on any of you all stuff. If we truly believe this is the end coming soon, we should attempt and try as much as we can to be locked arm with one another. I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes, and I'll hush. If you guys want to get a song, think on a song, pray on a song, get ready for a song, what are you going to do? I want to say about this and then hush. Ecclesiastes, I believe, chapter number 4. Talking about if a man is alone, if a man is alone and he falleth, he has nobody there to help him. He has nobody there to reach down and pick him up. I have found in many of the instances and many of the times when I have fallen, and some folks don't like this, but some of the people that's helped me the most is the brothers and the sisters of the church. I never forget, as a young preacher, when I first preached, I guess I had a tendency at first, and I hate it now when I hear it, but when I was first preaching, I had a tendency, what we called beat up the church. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that term before. I was beating up the church. And Sister Kitty, Monica Carpenter, we called her Sister Kitty. Her nickname was Kitty. She come up to me one day and she goes, Brother Jason, can I tell you something? Of course, she's older than I am, been in church a long time. I said, yes. She goes, you know, you can wear a path out getting to the woodshed. I said, okay. Got in my car and all brash and arrogant. And I'm the preacher. I don't know what in the world that meant, but you don't say that to me. I get halfway down the road and God hit me. He said, you can wear the path out, taking folks to the woodshed, tell them how wrong they are all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. But you know what will stop that path from being beat down and what will cause that grass to grow? If you would be the help in somebody's life. Y'all hear me? I had some of them people that would point things out to me. They'd help me. They was invested in my life. And I thank God of how much pain those people went through me preaching whenever I was first called. But folks helped. They took an interest. They took they invested in my ministry because they was a part of it. Can I say this tonight? We all are a part of God's ministry. You know, I said Jeff was supposed to be there Sunday night at the Kansas church, but Sunday morning Jeff's going to be at Shady Grove. Do you know that we can invest in that by praying for him? And he can come back, stand up here, and tell you all the things that God did because he knew he had a home church praying for him. It was going to be there for him. That youth grew, and I've said this before. When I was, it was floating around, and I said, don't you dare let me find out who said it. And of course, the person who said it volunteered to tell me they was the one that said it. Said, I can't understand why that our youth group had to go to Tennessee twice for kids to get saved. And I said, well, if the liberty of the Lord was given to the youth in the sanctuary during regular services, they may not have to go to Tennessee to get saved. I'm not saying this to beat folks up. What I'm saying is that it's so sensitive, it's so precious, and it's so important that the church be together, unified. Are we scattered? Are we falling apart? No. God said, Jason, if it's going to get anything, it's going to get rough around this world. But it won't get rough on us if we stick together and lock arms and invest in one another, take part in one another's lives, and help each other. And I've often said, I say this after every service or try to, I said, if you need me, call me. If I can help, call me. I'll come here. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. But maybe you need help with something tonight. Maybe you need to pray about something tonight. Maybe you got something going on in your life. Maybe there's something that's struggling, something that's bothering you, something that's weighing you down. And you need help laying it aside. I'll pray with you.